This is VOA 1, The Hits.
Welcome to Learning English, a daily 30-minute program from the Voice of America. I'm Dan Friedel.
And I'm Katie Weaver. This program is aimed at English learners. So we speak slowly, and we use words and phrases, especially written, for people learning English. On the show today, John Russell reports about some surprising scientific findings about octopuses. Then, Gregory Stockel presents the Learning English Health and Lifestyle Report. Greg will join me in the studio for a chat after. And we close the show with another part of our 2015 series about America's Mother Road, Route 66. Ashley Thompson and I report. But first, here's John Russell.
Octopuses are not communal animals. Most live alone their entire lives. So, scientists were surprised to find thousands of pearl octopuses living together as they protected their developing eggs. The community is on the ocean floor off the California coast. Now, researchers may have solved the mystery of the strange pearl octopus behavior. An inactive underwater volcano heats the area where the mother octopuses settle. Their eggs hatch faster as a result. There are clear advantages of basically sitting in this natural hot tub, said Janet Voigt. Voigt is an octopus biologist at the Field Museum of Natural History in Chicago, Illinois. She co-wrote the study published in Science Advances. The researchers found that the area's warmth greatly reduced the time it took for eggs to hatch. As a result, the eggs had a reduced risk of being eaten by snails, shrimp, and other animals. Researchers discovered the nesting area in 2018, calling it an octopus garden. Researchers used a robotic underwater vehicle to film the group of nearly 6,000 octopuses living around 3 kilometers deep. The octopuses lay their eggs on warm rocks and then remain there, protecting their young with their bodies. National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration biologist Andrew DeVogelaire was a study co-writer. He described what researchers saw. It was completely incredible. We suddenly saw thousands of pearly colored octopus, all upside down, with their legs up in the air and moving around. The octopus were pushing away possible predators and turning their eggs for an even flow of water and oxygen, he explained. But scientists still did not know exactly why the octopuses had gathered there. Scientists observed the area for 3 years to understand the hatching process. They recorded both the developmental stage of eggs at 31 nests and the deaths of octopus mothers. After the hatchlings come out of the nest and swim off immediately into the dark, the mothers, who never left their nest and never appeared to feed during nesting, soon die, said James Barry. Barry is a biologist at the Monterey Bay Aquarium Research Institute and co-writer of the study. The researchers found that eggs at this site hatch after about 21 months. The same process takes 4 years or more for other deep-sea octopuses. Usually, colder water slows down metabolism and embryonic development and extends lifespan in the deep sea. But here in this spot, warmth appears to speed things up, said Adi Ken. Ken is a biologist at the Scripps Institution of Oceanography and was not involved in the study. Mike Vecchione is a zoologist and octopus expert with the Smithsonian National Museum of Natural History. He praised the researchers for gathering so much detailed data about such a remote location. Such octopus gardens may be widespread and really important in the deep sea, he said. There's still so much to discover in the deep sea. I'm John Russell.
In 2017, a workplace accident resulted in Phil Durst losing sight in his left eye. He experienced severe pain from the incident, which left him unable to tolerate light. He also experienced severe headaches 4 or 5 times a day. Then he underwent an experimental operation that aims to treat severe injuries in one eye with stem cells from the other eye. Durst said he went from being completely blind to seeing well enough to drive. Regaining his sight was an emotional experience for the 51-year-old from Homewood, Alabama. Durst was one of 4 patients to get stem cell transplants as part of the first study to test the method in the United States. Although additional treatment is needed, experts say the stem cell transplant offers hope to people who are not getting results from other methods. The experimental research results were published recently in Science Advances. A larger study is underway. The operation is designed to treat limbal stem cell deficiency. It is a disorder of part of the eye called the cornea. The problem happens after chemical burns and other injuries. Limbal cells are needed to keep the outer surface of the cornea healthy. Patients without limbal cells cannot have corneal transplants that are commonly used to improve sight. Dr. Ula Yorkunas is an ophthalmologist at the treatment center Mass Eye and Ear in Boston, Massachusetts. She was the main researcher for the study. She said the experimental method involves taking a few stem cells from the healthy eye, then expanding them and growing them on a graft. The research took place at a laboratory at Dana-Farber Cancer Institute in Boston. A few weeks later, the grafts are transplanted into the injured eye. Durst was the first patient to undergo the operation. The great part of it is that we're using a patient's own tissue, not donor tissue the body might reject, Yorkunas said. She said this method is better than a different operation that takes a very large piece of stem cells from a healthy eye for use on an injured eye, but risks damaging the good eye. Both of Durst's eyes were hurt in the accident. For 6 to 8 months, his sight was so bad that his wife or son had to lead him around. But his right eye was less injured than his left one and could provide stem cells for the transplant. Yorkunas also works with Harvard Medical School. She said Durst's 2018 operation was the product of almost 20 years of research. She said the researchers were happy to finally do the operation. All patients in the study reported that their cornea surfaces improved to normal. Durst and another patient were then able to get transplants of man-made corneas. Two others reported improved sight with the stem cell transplant alone. A fifth patient did not receive the operation because the stem cells were not able to expand enough. Durst said the vision in his right eye is nearly normal, but the vision in his left could improve. He will have another operation in September to correct it. Researchers are finishing the next step of the clinical trial, which includes 15 patients. Yorkunas estimates that 1,000 people in the U.S. could be helped every year by this sort of stem cell transplant. The treatment has also been studied in Japan. I'm Gregory Stockel.
Gregory Stockel joins me to talk more about this week's health and lifestyle story. Glad to have you on the show, Greg.
I'm happy to be here, Katie.
This week's story told us about an experimental operation that helped a few people gain back their sight. The operation is designed to treat a disorder of the part of the eye called the cornea. Can you tell us more about the different parts of the eye?
Yes, some other parts of the eye include the optic nerve, the pupil, the iris, and the lens. The optic nerve sends messages from the eye to the brain to create images. The pupil lets in different amounts of light depending on the muscles from the iris, and the lens directs the light that passes through the pupil to a place on the back of the eye.
That brings me to another question I have. What is the cornea, then?
The cornea is a clear part of the eye that covers the iris, the pupil, and another part of the eye called the anterior chamber. Similar to the lens, it also directs light to the back of the eye. However, it cannot change its shape like the lens can, so the lens permits humans to see objects better at different distances, but the cornea provides most of the power that directs light.
That is a very helpful explanation of a very complex organ. Thanks for joining me on today's show.
You're welcome. Have a great week, Katie.
VOA Learning English has launched a new program for children. It is called Let's Learn English with Anna. The new course aims to teach children American English through asking and answering questions and experiencing fun situations. For more information, visit our website, learningenglish.voanews.com.
The United States is full of odd roadside attractions. Route 66 is home to some of the oldest and arguably most bizarre roadside attractions of them all. Here are 10 attractions you should see along the Mother Road. Route 66 travelers pass by many fiberglass giants right along the road. These giants were a popular form of advertising in the 1960s. Many of them stood in front of service stations. They held car parts, such as mufflers. The collection of Route 66 giants became known as Muffler Men. Businesses hoped the strange statues would get travelers' attention. The first fiberglass giant was a Paul Bunyan figure, built in the early 1960s. Paul Bunyan is a famous lumberjack in American folklore. It originally advertised the Paul Bunyan Cafe on Route 66 in Flagstaff, Arizona. There, the Paul Bunyan statue held an axe. But in 1965, a man in Illinois bought the statue and took it to his state. He used the giant Paul Bunyan to advertise his restaurant in Cicero, Illinois. He also replaced the axe with something very different. A hot dog? The statue was moved again in the early 2000s, this time to Atlanta, Illinois. Paul Bunyan still stands there today, nearly 6 meters tall, with one giant hot dog in hand.
Crown Candy Kitchen has been serving Route 66 travelers from the very beginning. It is just a few short blocks from the 66 path through St. Louis, Missouri. The family-run soda fountain shop opened more than 100 years ago and has been making candies, malts, and meals ever since. On weekends, people sometimes wait in line for a table at Crown Candy for over an hour. Luckily, there is free entertainment right outside. Jamaica Ray, a local folk artist, creates unusual sculptures. Jamaica Ray was born in St. Louis, but was raised in Jamaica. When he returned to his birth city a few years ago, he brought with him a unique style of art. Jamaica Ray creates very lifelike sculptures out of cloth, plastic, and other materials he finds. And he plays music for customers on his homemade steel drums.
Fanning, Missouri is home to one of Route 66's strangest attractions. Just off the road sits an almost 13-meter-tall rocking chair. The structure was completed in 2008, on the 1st of April, or April Fool's Day. The same year, the Guinness Book of World Records awarded it the title of World's Largest Rocking Chair. At one time, the chair actually rocked, but officials decided it had to be permanently still to be safe. People are not permitted to climb the chair. We suspect, however, that it probably happens once in a while when no one's watching.
Music. Few places better represent the common expression, "Everything's bigger in Texas," than the Big Texan Steak Ranch. Since 1960, it has appealed to travelers with big appetites and a big love of beef. It is hard to miss the huge yellow restaurant or the giant cow statue that sits out front. The cow advertises Big Texan's special deal and what has made this steak ranch famous. A free 72-ounce, or 2-kilogram, steak. There is one trick. The steak is only free if you can eat the entire thing in 1 hour. A special table is in the middle of the restaurant for the daring diners who accept the challenge. Since 1990, more than 9,000 people have eaten the entire 2-kilogram steak.
Of all the strange attractions along the Mother Road, the best known is in Amarillo, Texas, Cadillac Ranch. There, 10 old Cadillac cars are partly buried, front first, in the hard, flat earth. Their back ends, several with iconic tail fins, point toward the Big Texas sky. A group of artists called Ant Farm created the installation in 1974. It is on private land, but the owner has always left the area open for visitors. The installation is meant to represent the golden age of cars. Huge numbers of tourists visit Cadillac Ranch every day. Many bring along cans of spray paint. Visitors are encouraged to leave their marks on the colorful cars.
Some of the most treasured attractions on Route 66 are motels. Bright neon motel signs transport travelers back in time. These motor court-style motels became popular as the automobile rose to importance in the U.S. The small, independent motels remain a symbol of the American road trip. Along Route 66 today, the majestic Blue Swallow Motel in Tucumcari, New Mexico, stands out. The Blue Swallow opened in 1940. It has been renovated and modernized, but it still has many of the motel's classic and original features. A vintage car still sits out front. Blue Swallow's sign, though, is what makes it so special. The photogenic neon sign features a swallow, a type of bird, with a leaf in its beak. The bird's lights blink on and off. Route 66 travelers today can still stay the night in one of Blue Swallow's 12 rooms. It remains one of the most famous motels along the route.
Some of Route 66's motels are just kooky. The Wigwam Village in Holbrook, Arizona, is an example. Wigwam villages are motels built in America beginning in the 1930s. They were designed to look like traditional Native American homes. Each room is actually a separate building, tall and cone-shaped. However, that kind of native home is actually called a teepee. Native wigwams are short and round, like a dome. The builders may have gotten the name wrong, but visitors loved the motels anyway, and the wigwams remain a popular Route 66 attraction.
Winslow, Arizona, is home to a relatively new attraction along Route 66. It honors a popular old song. The American group The Eagles released Take It Easy in 1972. It goes, "I'm standing on a corner in Winslow, Arizona. Such a fine sight to see." In 1999, Winslow officials opened a small public park that honors the song that made the town famous. A statue of a man holding a guitar was put up on the corner of 2nd and Kinsey Streets. A large painting on a brick wall behind the statue also depicts a line of the song with the words Winslow, Arizona painted above.
The Museum Club in Flagstaff, Arizona is a honky-tonk right along Route 66. If you are wondering what a honky-tonk is, we will get to that later. First, we will tell you about the business's original purpose. It opened in the 1930s. The owner, Dean Eldridge, built it to be the biggest log cabin in the world. Mr. Eldridge was in the taxidermy business. He placed the animals he stuffed along the walls and beams of the business and called it a museum. Later, the museum became a place to gather and drink. It also became a popular spot for travelers along Route 66. The business added country western music and dancing. Over the years, the club got wilder and rougher. Bar brawls were not uncommon. That is how the Museum Club earned its title as a honky-tonk. A honky-tonk is a bar that features country music, low-cost drinks, and wild behavior. Today, the Museum Club again is respectable, but still lively. And the taxidermied animals still hang in the club.
The El Trovatore Motel in Kingman, Arizona, opened in the late 1930s. It was once one of the most modern and expensive motels along Arizona's stretch of Route 66. It was the state's first air-conditioned motel. The area around Kingman was once a popular place to film Western movies, so Hollywood actors stayed in the area during filming. El Trovatore's past guests include Hollywood icons like Marilyn Monroe, Clark Gable, and James Dean, and El Trovatore's connection to Hollywood still remains strong today. Many of the motel rooms celebrate a different Hollywood celebrity. Guests can choose to stay in a Marilyn Monroe room, an Elvis Presley room, or a John Wayne room. Another famous El Trovatore attraction? It is now home to the world's longest Route 66 map. I'm Ashley Thompson.
And I'm Katie Weaver. That's all the time we have for today's show, but join us again tomorrow for another VOA Learning English program. Thanks for listening. I'm Katie Weaver.
And I'm Dan Friedel.